Actually, you notice this after the earthquake. Anything material can be lost from your hands at any moment. So you should make some of your investments in yourself. You should also invest in your own career and peace of mind.
That was Özge Aras, a determined and resilient self-taught developer who persevered through a challenging journey, including the aftermath of a devastating earthquake in Turkey, to recently secure a front-end dev role that truly lights her up. I wanted to speak with Özge because her experience showcases the power of continuous learning and adaption in the face of adversity. From pursuing coding self-study while working a demanding job, to relocating countries for better opportunities, Özge's story exemplifies the importance of perseverance, self-improvement, and seizing new chances. I'm your host, Alex Booker, and you're listening to the Scrimba Podcast. Özge, welcome to the show.
I graduate as a computer engineer. Back then at the university, I always loved coding and developing something. Back then we were using like Java and C sharp because it was like 2012, I think I graduated that year. So I was very curious about development, but unfortunately I couldn't do that much development because when I started my first job, it was like consulting firm and they were using this third party tool for customers, and this tool just only was using the vanilla JavaScript on very basic level. And unfortunately, I couldn't develop myself as a developer. And I continued this job for like 8 years, maybe. Unfortunately, this tool gets unpopular. I started to think, what should I do for my career development? And I was loving JavaScript, and from other departments, I had friends that told me about this React, and they told me that I should learn for my career development. And I think if I want to become a developer, I should learn some new technologies, right? I saw the learning front-end development as a way to stay relevant and expand my job opportunities. So I started to look for React courses online. And then I saw Scrimba. I think it was like beginning of 2020. And there were a few courses back then on Scrimba, just like JavaScript, HTML, CSS, and React. I saw the React training. It was free. And I immediately signed up. And then I realized how poorly I was even in vanilla JavaScript. So I left React lessons.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and halfway. And I started the HTML, CSS, and JavaScript lessons because it was like ES6 technologies back then, I think, in 2020. Mm-hmm. I didn't know anything about ES6. And I learned this ES6 and JavaScript technologies from Scrimba also.
So you studied computer engineering at university and you were coding Java and .NET, C sharp, you said. And then you got this first job out of university. Probably you're expecting to be doing programming and stuff if you studied computer engineering. But it sounds like maybe you were a bit surprised when you got to the job and, you know, they were using only very basic vanilla JavaScript. And I think you said you felt quite limited there. Tell me a bit more about that job. Like, which country did you work that job in? And why did you stay there for 8 years if it wasn't quite what you were expecting?
I was in Istanbul. I started my work life in Istanbul, in Turkey. Really, I couldn't quit the job because I needed the money. So it's difficult to change your career when you need money and you need to continue your life.
Absolutely. When you decided to learn React and you realized that even your vanilla JavaScript could do with some improving, especially the ES6 stuff, did you realize when you were working that first job that you were like maybe not doing your best programming? Or were you a little bit surprised when you left the job and you were like, oh, I thought my JavaScript was more up to date than this because I've been using it for 8 years.
Yes, I was very surprised actually. And I saw that the new version of JavaScript, it will resolve our problems. And thanks to God, my company decided to create the project from scratch with the latest technologies. So I asked my manager to, I wanted to be a front-end developer, if it's possible to be in this project as a front-end developer. Then he said, okay, and we started this project using JavaScript. And really, it fixed at least 90% of our problems.
Really?
Yeah.
What was your experience like relearning JavaScript and getting hands-on with React for the first time?
It wasn't easy on the beginning, but after I saw Screamba, it was really, really easy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. Because on Screamba, when you listen to the lesson, at the same time, you can try the code and see the results. It's very great experience for students because in well-known training channels like YouTube, for example, or other training channels are nothing but videos that get boring after a while and are very difficult to follow. For example, when I'm working right now at my company, I am thinking about a solution and immediately it came to my mind. Yeah, I saw that on Screamba. And when I search for that solution, I can find it like in 10 minutes. But if you want to check the YouTube video, it will take like, for example, 1 hour to find that solution. But in Screamba, the lessons are part and part. You can find that part that you need. It's very easy to follow.
I was looking at your portfolio, actually, Osge, and I noticed you've completed a lot of projects.
Yeah, but these projects, maybe you know, they are already in the front-end developer path.
So a lot of this coding and the learning, was that something that you were like doing as part of your job, or were you doing it on the side?
I was doing it on the side, actually, because it was fun for me. Especially, I love JavaScript that some people are hating. I don't know why. Some backend developers, but I think JavaScript is solution for everything. You can use it everywhere, like on backend, on frontend, for UI.
For mobile, for IoT, for games.
Yes, everything.
I think someone even used JavaScript on a rocket ship one time.
Really?
The backend developers who don't like JavaScript did not like that very much.
But what can you do?
Coming up, how Özge changed jobs and countries.
They sent a project to me and they said you should finish this project in 6 hours. It was very stressful actually because when a company sends you a test, they usually give you 5-6 days to complete it.
Wait, oh my gosh.
But first, let's take a look at social media. Hello, I'm Jan, the producer, and in every episode, I go through your Twitter and LinkedIn posts mentioning the Screamba podcast. Helen C. is tweeting about her progress through 100 days of code. Day 65, started Learn Intermediate Algorithmic Thinking by building a dice game from FreeCodeCamp's JavaScript Algorithms and Data Structures curriculum. I listened to the Screamba podcast, episode 150, how to figure out what you want to do with Screamba student Amy while learning to code the dice game on FreeCodeCamp. Sounds like a winning combo. And Roxana Rodback also listened to the same episode, chaperoning a field trip to VP this AM. Nice bus ride with a Screamba podcast playing in my ear. Alex and Amy hit the nail on the head. With the internet, we see our options now and that it's possible to make a change. This is why I'm only just discovering where I should be. If you're enjoying our show and if you want to make sure we get to make more of it, the best thing you can do to support us is to tell somebody about it. You can do it in person, in your Discord community, or on the internet. And when I say on the internet, I mean on social media. And as long as your social media posts contain the words Screamba and podcast, we will find them and you might get a shout out right here on the show. Of course, if you're feeling extra supportive, you can also leave us a rating or a review in your podcast app of choice. Are you listening on Spotify? Are you listening on Overcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts? Like, I don't know, we are on literally every platform out there. If there's a possibility to leave us a 5-star review, hopefully, please do so. It really helps. And now we're going back to the interview with Özge.
Help me understand a little bit in terms of your journey. You were doing this job, you've been working it for a few years. You had the opportunity to join the front-end project. So I guess you were like maybe doing some front-end learning on the job. but you were also doing it on the side because you were really enjoying it and you really love JavaScript. Is that right?
Yes, that's true. But mostly I was doing it after job, before job, because when I was working, I had so many tasks and just small part was the JavaScript and front-end development. So I couldn't do much. But after work, I continued to learn JavaScript and React. It's because it was fun.
You mentioned that when you learned about Scrimba, learning to code became a little bit easier. But also learning to code alongside your job, that sounds like it could be a little bit of a struggle as well. Were there any other challenges about learning to code that stopped you from maybe getting where you want to go as quickly as you could have?
As an adult, right now I am 34 years old. As an adult, it's hard to focus on one thing. You are not a student anymore. You are not at the university. You have a life, you have responsibilities. And also I was working. So it was very like, if you don't like coding, it is hard to learn. But I was loving it and still loving it. And I continue to learn. Still, I'm learning every day something.
In your post in the Scrimba Discord community, you mentioned that sometimes you didn't have the motivation to learn, but then you had a terrible earthquake in your hometown, and that caused you to pause the courses for a while you took care of things at home.
Yes, yes. Sometimes, yes, you can't find the motivation to learn. Because sometimes life, it's not a straight way. Sometimes it will be up, it will be down. And it is really hard to focus something sometimes. It's like if you are human, it's normal. About the earthquake, yes, unfortunately, there was a huge and devastating earthquake in my hometown, Hatay, in February last year. Unfortunately, I lost some of my friends and neighbors in this earthquake.
Oh my goodness, I'm so sorry.
Thank you. The house where I was born and raised was destroyed. I was in Istanbul at the time when I was working and living there, but unfortunately my entire family and close friends were affected by the earthquake.
This was the Turkey-Syria earthquakes in 2023, is that right?
Yeah, last year. Actually, you notice this after the earthquake. Anything material can be lost from your hands at any moment. So you should make some of your investment in yourself. You should also invest in your own career and peace of mind. That's why I continued working, actually.
I think that's such a powerful idea.
Yes, that is. Because like everybody lost their something at the earthquake, some relatives or some material things like houses, cars, and one day you are waking up and you have nothing. But if you invest yourself and if you invest in your peace of mind, you will find a way to go further from that position and you will be good in physical way and also like psychological way. It's important to invest in yourself. That's why I learned from the earthquake.
Can you take us back to that time? You were working this job, you were learning to code, and I'm sure there were challenges, right? But you were well on your way. And then almost out of nowhere, I feel like things like this, that they just happen out of nowhere. It can be so surprising.
I couldn't do my job. And I couldn't think about anything for learning, for code, for anything, especially just I was curious about my family only, my family and friends.
Did you get news quickly or did you have to was it quite suspenseful waiting to find out what the effects were?
Unfortunately, yeah, I have to wait. It was in the middle of the morning, like 4 a.m. in the morning. And I heard the news about like 6 a.m. And then first thing I do to call my family and friends, but you can't reach them because the communication was broken. So I waited like 2 or 3 hours. Then I get some information a little bit. And I heard they are okay, my family and my friends. And I relieved. But in some way, you feel like you have to do something, but you can't because it was very far also from Istanbul and the airport was broken. You can't fly there.
No, exactly. And as much as you want to go and be there, I'm sure the authorities wouldn't really invite people to the site of an earthquake where there are aftershocks and all that kind of stuff.
Yes. Fortunately, it was very bad situation to wait and do nothing. Just wait.
So you can't work. You can't really focus on coding. You can't travel back home. What can you do?
Nothing. Just following the news from the television or in the internet. But it was also a quite less news because you can't communicate in any way with that people. It was hard, very hard.
I mean, just to be clear, the effects aren't devastating in general, but your family, they were okay in the end, I hope?
Yeah, they are okay. But most of the houses were devastated and they are destroyed, unfortunately, and so many people are died.
Coding does not seem very important compared to that all of a sudden.
Yes, yes. I think after 3 or 4 months, everybody started to living normal. But still, it is 1 year now, and it's still not normal, unfortunately.
It must really change you as a person to experience something like that. It brings into question things that in the modern world we think are very fundamental. We think it's very fundamental that if we pick up our iPhone or our Android and we reach out to someone, we're going to at least connect. But when the infrastructure is down, all of a sudden you can't reach anybody, let alone at a moment's notice. And then, you know, we grow up in these towns or villages, we go places, and some things that have been there for centuries, whether that's a building or a monument or a road where you have memories, you think, well, it's amazing to have a connection to this place because it's always going to be there. Even if I change, I can come back here and it'll be the same. But then the town, it isn't there anymore. Like, it's all changed. And I think it just must bring into question some of the fundamental things we... And whenever that happens, it's quite a changing experience, I would imagine.
Yeah, that's very correct. For example, if you ask one of the earthquake victims, she or he will say definitely it doesn't matter to have a house or to have a car, fancy phone. And you don't rely on material things. You're just living your life and living at the moment and get as much as experience in life. That will matter. And the health, of course.
How did you change your life after you learned that?
Mentally, I think I let go the thinking about getting everything. Like, I should have a car, I should have a house, I should have a fancy clothes, I should have everything, good shoes, good phones. That doesn't matter anymore because right now I'm traveling more and experiencing more, learning more. I'm investing in myself rather than the material stuff like good cars, good shoes, good everything. I don't know.
And they're not really investments, right? Like, you spend money on them, but then they lose their value. But I feel like when you invest in yourself, you create value. And wow, I can't think of anything better to invest in than yourself because, you know, you'll be with yourself for the rest of your life, really.
Yes, that's true.
How did you design your life after such a big event? And how did you design your career and coding around the life you wanted to lead? I'm hearing that you wanted to be less materialistic and you wanted to focus on investing in yourself and building memories and probably fostering connections and things like that as well. I think for a lot of people in technology, we kind of feel like we have to put a lot of our life into the job. And some people, they don't work to live, they live to work, if you see what I mean. I just can't imagine that's how you think about it anyway, based on your experience. But I want to hear how you kind of designed your work-life balance going forward, because everything would have been different.
That's why I moved to Malta, especially for the work-life balance. So at my job in Turkey, it was very stressful and we were doing after hours every day. And I decided, what is the meaning of working that much? It doesn't make sense in any way. So always I had the dream going abroad, like Europe, and develop my career there. So I was looking for a job abroad before the earthquake also. But after the earthquake, I really accelerated because I just wanted to go from Turkey.
I mean, Malta, it's not exactly a technology country compared to, say, a Silicon Valley or a London or a Berlin or something. I'm not saying anybody has to move those places, but it's certainly like a very small place. And I can't imagine there's a huge amount of industry. So I don't know. I would assume you didn't move there for the career opportunities, but rather the lifestyle, because it is just an incredibly beautiful place with beautiful people.
Yeah, that's true. But you are wrong about the opportunities and the industry, because there are lots of iGaming companies here.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, lots of them. It's a small country, yeah, I know, but there are quite chances to get a job here, like tech person.
Tell me about that. You must have changed job when you moved there.
My friend first came here. He was offered a job by a company in Malta, and he accepted it. And then he settled in Malta in a very short time. So he said, you should come here because Malta is very beautiful and sunny place. Because I hate cold and I love sun and hot weather. So I said, why not? I was already thinking about moving abroad and living there. So I started to search job in Malta only. And then, fortunately, I found a job in like 2 months. It was very quick.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
Thanks to Scrimba again.
Thanks to you. Like, I love how much you are appreciating Scrimba. I really appreciate you saying that stuff. But you were the one putting in the hours after work, you know, because you love it, because you were motivated. You were also the person who, you know, picked coding back up. A lot of people, when they're doing something hard, they make a lot of momentum, but then some big event happens. Granted, not normally a earthquake, but something happens and they stop and they don't pick it up again. You know, it's harder. You've lost all that momentum. But I think, to your credit, Özge, you picked it up again and kept going. And yeah, I think you deserve all the credit, actually. I'm really happy for you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
What was the process like of finding a job there? Did you like quit your job in Istanbul to like focus on this move? Or did you try and navigate the change alongside your job? Maybe you wanted to line up a job in Malta before you moved there and so on. And yeah, like, how did you find the job? Was it on LinkedIn or maybe you got a connection or something?
Actually, I was following a structure when I was searching for a job. I create this structure for myself, this process.
Oh, tell me about it.
When I make decision to go to Malta, first, immediately on LinkedIn, I searched for Malta only. And then I connected with a lot of recruiters and I found the companies of Malta who are using the React, using ChatGPT. I ask ChatGPT, which company is using React and JavaScript? And apparently a lot of iGaming companies are here and they are using the latest.
What's iGaming?
Like gambling online.
I've not heard that term before. Interesting.
And then I started to follow all the companies and I started to follow companies' websites and I was checking every day for the new jobs, for the companies' websites. And I was writing to all recruiters, headhunters. And then I found my job on my company's website. And they reached out to me and we started the interview process.
So you chose to apply on the website instead of applying on LinkedIn.
You can find the company names online, on the internet, on ChatGPT, on everywhere. So I was searching for them on LinkedIn and then from LinkedIn to the company website. Yeah, I was following them also on LinkedIn.
By the way, when you were reaching out to recruiters and companies, what were you saying in those messages?
I was saying that I am a front-end developer and self-taught React developer and I was just looking for a job. That's it.
No need to overcomplicate it.
If they had any, I would be willing to apply. That's all.
Nice, nice. Did you get any interesting leads from that?
Not all of them were interested also, but for example, if I apply or write 5 people, just one of them was replying back to me.
Not bad ratio.
Yeah, if I apply, for example, 50 jobs on LinkedIn, just one of them was reply back to me.
You only need one, really, to take an interest, which is always a nice thing to remember.
Yes, that's true.
When you got in touch with this company through their website and you sent, I assume, your resume and things like that over, What was the hiring process like? Did they really grill you in the interview process?
I think it was first step of interview process. First, they called me after I sent my CV and applied from the company website. They called me and they told me to make a quick interview on the phone. And we decided to the date. And then they called me for like 15 minutes, just a pretty interview like that. And then they send a test, a project to me. And they said, you should finish this project in 6 hours.
Interesting. Okay. How did you feel about that?
It was very stressful, actually, because when a company sends you a test or a project, they usually give you 5-6 days to complete it.
Wait. Oh my gosh. When you said 6 hours, I thought they meant, hey, you know, you've got a week, but don't spend any more than 6 hours. Like, do an hour here, do an hour. I didn't think you had 6 hours, almost like a time trial.
Yes.
What?
But it wasn't that hard project. If you are a beginner, for example, you can finish it in 6 hours. It was okay. I finished it in 4 hours. So, yeah, I did this test, the project, and I sent back to them. And, you know, you should really use just React and GitHub. You should push your code to the GitHub and you should send the GitHub link to them. After the test, it was a HR interview. And the HR interview was like 1 hour. They were asking me very basic HR questions that you can find it on LinkedIn.
Tell me about a time you had a conflict in the workspace, or tell me about your biggest weakness and that kind of thing, I think.
That kind of thing, yes. You can find these HR questions everywhere on the internet.
Sometimes I wonder why they still ask those questions when I think most people know the answers that the HR people are expecting. I don't know. I thought they would start asking some new questions, but never mind. What happened next?
Next, after HR meeting, I joined to technical interview. It was one senior front-end developer and head of tech. And then, of course, they asked about technology and JavaScript and React-related questions. And thanks to Screamba again, because you can find these React and JavaScript questions and answers, like exact questions and answers, on Screamba front-end developer pads.
The React interview question module. Yeah, Cassidy Williams.
Yes, this one, and also JavaScript.
Nice.
The questions were very, very similar. So you can learn these questions and the answers. You can reach the interview very successfully.
What does this new company do? What are they all about? And what's your role?
My role is front-end developer, and we are using React and JavaScript. And some of other departments, I think they are using Vue.js.
Nice.
Yes. The latest technologies, thank God.
You're going to stay ahead of the curve now, Osgay.
Yes. And we are doing these iGaming sites to Europe countries. And I am doing the front-end part of it. It's very fun working for a gaming company because it's gaming. The company has always had these parties with game providers and you are playing at the office. The office environment is very fun, actually. And it's very like young, agile team. It's good to be here.
Are you working like in an office mostly, or is it remote? Hybrid, even.
It's hybrid, mostly hybrid, but no one cares if you don't go, if you work from home, if you work from the office. It's up to you.
Cool. Yeah, sounds really good. I think it's just fantastic. You know, this journey is very unique. I mean, I would say a lot of people go from not knowing coding to learning coding, but the situation where you studied it, and I'm sure there were many elements to your role when you joined that company for 8 years, but the one element you cared the most about, the coding, maybe you sort of fell behind a little bit. That's never a kind of nice thing, I would say. Like, it's okay, and like, you've done the absolute best thing possible here, I think. But I can relate to that. And I remember, for example, when I was younger, I would make YouTube videos and I built this really successful YouTube channel and I just stopped doing it. And then 4 years later, I was like, I thought I was still good at videos. I was like, yeah, I've done that before. I know what I'm doing, I think. And I tried to make a video and I could barely remember how to edit. The video didn't get many views and it was so humbling, you know? And one thing I really love about myself, and I really love about your story as well, is that some people, I think, would give up at that point. They're like, oh, whatever. But, you know, in both our cases, and I'm so impressed by your story, you kind of made a plan and you pushed through. And even though there was some adversity there, in particular what happened at home, I'm so sorry to hear about that. It sounded awful, but I can only appreciate your transparency and the way that you channeled it into something positive. I think that's exactly what the Scrimba podcast is all about, these kind of success stories. So thank you so much for that, Özge.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me this podcast and let me share my story for everyone.
It's been amazing. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, Alex.
That was the Scrimba Podcast, episode 151. If you made it this far, please subscribe. You can find the show wherever you listen to podcasts. The show is hosted by Alex Booker. I've been Jan, the producer. You can find both of our Twitter handles in the show notes. Keep coding, and we'll see you next time.